when it comes to deciding when to start planting your garden for the season, hopefully you've done a lot of that already, some of you might just trust your gut. Others might look at hardiness zone maps to see when it's planting time. Central Time producer Dean Knetter talked to WisContext editor Will Cushman about what those maps are, how they're made, and how climate change might affect them.
Before we get into how these maps are drawn, what exactly do we mean when we talk about a hardiness zone?
Right. So, and that's an important distinction because I think a lot of people do often get confused about what the USDA hardiness zones can tell us. And essentially, all they can tell us is whether or not a perennial can reasonably be expected to survive in our region. So the zones are split into, I think there's about roughly a dozen zones in the United States, and each one of them is where is delineated by 10 degrees. They go down into half zones where it's 5 degrees, but these broad regions where the extreme low temperature in the winter is averaged out, and within that region, the extreme low temperature is expected to be like usually in a given year around that temperature. So that gives you a good sense of whether or not the perennial that you want to plant will be able to survive a winter. Like sometimes, again, these are averages. So sometimes you'll have a warm winter where a perennial that maybe you shouldn't have planted in Wisconsin does survive. Don't expect it to in subsequent years. It could. But on the flip side, you might have a year where something that you would normally expect to survive in southern Wisconsin or even northern Wisconsin might not survive because of a really intense cold snap. And so the USDA hardiness zones, they're averages of cold weather extremes. They're not necessarily the coldest temperature.
And who tends to be interested in these maps and use them?
They were originally made for farmers as well as horticulturists. A lot of people who use them anymore are home gardeners, hobbyists. I think probably some farmers will still use them if they're maybe thinking about planting some perennial crop. Usually that's going to be something like an orchard crop, like a stone fruit crop or something like that, not necessarily one of your annual crops. But for the most part, it is home gardeners that I think use it the most.
And what kind of zones do we see across Wisconsin?
Yeah. In Wisconsin, we have three broad zones ranging from zone 3 up in the northwestern part of the state, kind of centered around Hayward, down to zone 5, which is in the southern part of the state, and then also hugs the Lake Michigan shore line pretty much up through Door County. And those zones, so in zone 3, 3B is what's in northwestern Wisconsin. I think the average low extreme temperature that you can expect in the winter is around negative 40 degrees versus zone 5 is going to be a little bit warmer, like 20 to 30 degrees warmer average extremes.
Now, there have been three big iterations of the hardiness zone map from the USDA. The first came in 1960, and there was another in 1990. How was the data for these maps originally compiled?
Right. So the USDA has been, or the federal government has been tracking climate data, weather data, at thousands of weather stations across the United States, basically since the 19th century, late 19th century in a lot of locations. And people decided in kind of the mid-20th century to harness that data and look at the averages of winter cold extremes to try to give guidance to farmers and to gardeners. And so that's what the 1960 map did. They essentially averaged, I think it was a few decades of winter low extremes at each weather station in this network. And they basically just connected the dots between weather stations where the average extremes were fell within the same 10 degree range. And so it wasn't super spatially detailed, but it did give people kind of a good sense of regions that experience similar climates, at least cold extreme climates.
We're talking with Will Cushman right now, associate editor at WisContext, about how we map hardiness zones that provide guidance to gardeners and farmers. You can read more and see some of these maps over at wiscontext.org. And Will, in 2012, the USDA released another version of the map that addressed some limitations with those earlier versions. What was different about this new map?
The new map used algorithms, which I will not try to go into too much detail about because I don't know myself what all went into developing those algorithms. But I do know, so in the 1960 and 1990 iterations, they basically just averaged the extreme low temperatures at a given weather station and connected the dots. In 2012, they incorporated this algorithm that also incorporated a lot of other things that are known to affect a local climate, and including winter extreme temperatures, those being elevation, latitude, and then also proximity to large bodies of water. That's why we see Lake Michigan, the Zone 5, going all along the shoreline of Lake Michigan up through Door County, even though Zone 4 creeps down a lot farther south in the interior of Wisconsin. And there are a bunch of other parameters that also affect a local climate and extreme low temperatures that just couldn't really be incorporated just by averaging the extreme low temperatures that were recorded in weather stations.
And looking at these maps, these three maps that now span 50 plus years, what kind of changes have we seen in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so interestingly, the 1990 map actually showed USDA hardiness zones that were a little bit colder almost across the board in the United States, including Wisconsin, than had been shown in 1960. And what I learned was that the 1990 maps actually used only about 14 years of weather data in the 70s and 80s, and it was actually a period of particularly cold winters, winters that were colder than average. And so the USDA maps reflected that. They showed that the zones were maybe a little bit colder than they otherwise would be expected to be if you used a longer data set. And so that's why in 2012, they returned to these longer data sets. They're called climate normals. They're 30-year data sets. So it's usually like 1971 through 2000 or 1981 through 2010. The 2012 maps use 1975 through 2006 or something like that, I believe, but kind of like straddled those two climate normals.
And have we seen climate change affecting these hardiness zones?
So in talking to the developer of the 2012 maps, Christopher Daly at Oregon State University, he's the one who developed the algorithm for these maps. He and the USDA actually officially they caution against interpreting changes in the USDA zone maps as evidence for climate change, essentially because of the changes in methodology that were used. They said that the changes in the zones that we see are more a reflection in the changes in the methodology. And in fact, in particular, the incorporation of this algorithm in 2012. And not only did it provide a lot more spatial detail, but it used a longer data set. But at the same time, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, developed its own hardiness zone maps around 2012. I think it was in like 2011. And they used two climate normals, the first being the 70s through 2000 and the second being the 80s through 2010. And they showed that there indeed does seem to be a creep in the USDA or in the hardiness zones going north. What they showed was that including in Wisconsin, there seems to be a little bit of creep north in these hardiness zones, which would reflect a warming climate.
Will, as we wrap up, with climate change throwing a lot of temperatures and weather patterns into some flux, what is the future of these hardiness zone maps and how they're put together?
Yeah, Christopher Daly, the guy who developed the 2012 map, said he's hopeful that USDA will ask him to develop more maps in the future. He would like to see it done every 5 years, more so that there isn't necessarily like a vacuum. People don't start going elsewhere to try to figure out like what perennials to plant in their backyard. But also there is the expectation, both at NOAA and I think at USDA that in the long term, as there are more maps made that follow the same methodologies, that those maps will continue to reflect a changing climate. And the expectation is that the hardiness zones will continue their northward march.
We'll leave it there. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
That was Central Time producer Dean Kinetter talking to Will Cushman, the associate editor at WisContext, about his recent look at hardiness zones for gardeners. You can learn more about the maps in his piece online over at wiscontext.org.